associate, which means that I have a non-vowed commitment to mercy. And now I would like to take you on a journey through Catherine's final days. On August the 20th, 1841, Catherine and her little founding party left Baggot Street to go to Birmingham on the last foundation. Now, Catherine was not at all well at this point, but she insisted on going on the foundation. And when they arrived in Birmingham, the sisters who were there thought that she looked very, very sick, and she was indeed very sick. It was normal for Catherine to stay maybe 6 weeks on a foundation, but at this time, she decided that she really had to go home early. So she wrote a letter back to Baggot Street to Sister Teresa Carton, and she asked Teresa to prepare the small infirmary for her, and she had a couple of little requests. And one of them was to get a low iron bed for the room, and secondly, she said she wanted a fire. And a third thing she said to Teresa was, and you don't need to leave the room, because obviously Teresa was sleeping there as well. She said, your little cough won't disturb me. So Catherine left Birmingham and returned to Baggot Street. And when the sisters saw her, they couldn't believe how sick she looked. And indeed, we think that Catherine herself knew at that point that she was dying. So she took up residence in the little infirmary on the first floor, where she had the low bed and the fire, and Teresa Carton stayed in the room with her. And for the next few weeks, Catherine, although not very mobile, she moved around and attended to the business of the house and to her own personal business. And then for the last 2 weeks of Catherine's life, she was confined to bed. And during that time, many people came to visit Catherine, but particularly on the day before she died, she had some special visitors. Her brother James and his wife Frances and their two daughters came to visit. And Catherine had some special quiet time with James on their own. We don't know what that conversation was about, but no doubt it was intimate. Dr. Walter Myler, the man who gave Catherine great grief for many years, he also came to visit her, and they were reconciled. Sisters from some of the foundations also came on that day, and there was a lot of hustle and bustle, but Catherine lay there in her bed, yes, in agony, the documents tell us, and fearful of death. But we know that later on that day she expressed that the fear had left her. So later on that Wednesday night, she called for a piece of paper and twine. She tied up her boots and desired them to be put in the fire. The sister to whom she gave them did not know what they were, but had directions to remain at the fire till all was consumed. At about 4 o'clock on Thursday morning, that was November 11th, she desired the bed to be moved to the centre of the room, saying that she would soon want air. At about 7, she desired the sisters to be brought to her and said to each one individually what was most suited. And to Sister Teresa Carton, she said, make sure the sisters have a good cup of tea when I am gone, and I think the community room would be a good place. There they can comfort each other, and God will comfort them. But her first and last injunction to all was to preserve union and peace among each other, that if they did, they would enjoy great happiness such as they would wonder where it came from. The Holy Sacrifice was offered in the room at about 8:30. She said it would be a comfort for her to see the white cloaks of the sisters, for she had been anointed without the usual ceremony on Monday, more to hasten her recovery than she was thought to be in immediate danger. At about 5 in the evening, she asked for the candle to be placed in her hand. The sisters commenced the last prayers, and when one or two prayers were repeated, prayers that were taught by Catherine herself, she said, God may bless you. And when they thought her senses must be going, and that it might be well to pray a little louder, she said, No occasion, my darling, to speak so loud. I hear distinctly. As the end approached, there was no fuss, no show, no panic, just the gentle breathing of her soul into God's keeping, as she repeated again and again, "Oh, if this be death, it is easy indeed." Then, at 8:10, clasping her rosary and crucifix, Catherine Elizabeth Macaulay calmly breathed her last sigh. Later that evening, two of the sisters prepared Catherine's body. They washed her hands and her face, and Sister Lucy, one of the younger members of the community, closed her eyes. And Catherine was laid out in the full habit of a Sister of Mercy. They put a check cloth on the bed with a pillow underneath, and they laid Catherine's body back on the bed. Throughout that night, two sisters kept vigil with lighted candles in the room. On Saturday morning, the sisters laid Catherine's body in a simple wooden box. And they brought her to the chapel. And over the next couple of days, numerous callers came to Baggot Street to express their deep sympathy with the sisters. The poor, whom she served, benefactors who had supported her, clergy whom she had reverenced regardless of whether they befriended or opposed her. And foremost among them was the Archbishop of Dublin, Dr. Murray, whose kindliness was a great solace to them. And very willingly did he give leave to have a portion of the garden consecrated as a cemetery, and thus made possible the fulfillment of Catherine's wish. "When I go, I hope I shall be laid in the earth like the poor." On Monday, the 15th of November, office and solemn Requiem Mass was celebrated in the convent chapel in the presence of 5 bishops and over 60 priests. Here, the congregation listened to Bishop Kinsella, who in a voice instinct with emotion expatiated on the virtues of his cherished friend and said her children were never to enter the cemetery where her mortal remains were, but in a reverent mood, for it would be truly unto all ages holy ground. After the Mass, Catherine's body was brought to the garden, and she was surrounded on each side by the sisters dressed in their white cloaks, carrying lighted candles. And there, on that day, November the 14th, Catherine Elizabeth Macaulay was laid to rest. And this ground is truly, and will be, unto all ages, holy ground.